There were two topics this evening, one related to procedural movement and the other related to publicity. Gerald, which would you like to talk on first?
Publicity.
So the background with regards to this is that Bruce Damer had an article published in the New York Times this week. And through my connections with regards to Bruce, I had both a public and a private discussion with him associated with what these kind of articles mean in a kind of broader sense associated with the artificial life community, how we can tune our particular sites for a degree of stickiness to extract the perfect developers, the perfect folk who are going to be actively contributing to something like Biota Live or the broader Biota community. And really, developing an artificial life simulation isn't just about writing code, it's about kind of tuning the stickiness in order to get particular users interested and involved. And I think there was a lot of feedback that we received both through Bruce's respective EvoGrid mailing lists and also general discussion associated with Peter Newman and Bruce associated with what the EvoGrid site currently looks like. I mean, Gerald, last year you had a relatively big piece in was it Boing Boing that covered Darwin at Home?
Yeah, it was just an article in Boing Boing that pointed to a video, and that's all it took. But it was a real wake-up call, because I figured if I get it to a point where I've got a sort of a tested game with a good number of people playing around and it's all starting to work, then trying to get that kind of attention again and succeeding should really bring a wave of people.
Yes, I think it's an interesting problem, and it's certainly something that I tracked through the probably 2002 through to 2004, the development with Noble Ape. I was very interested in this kind of new science of website stickiness and how one could particularly tune. If people are familiar with web stats, the numbers of the people that stay on your site between 15 minutes and on, so 15 minutes, I think it goes up to 2 hours plus, on your website, and you really want this percentage number to grow. Now, typically, it's never going to be more than about 10 or 15% of your total, viewers to your site. But it's quite interesting actually tracking the way people look at a website, and particularly a website associated with artificial life. You can really run ideas of maybe 3 to 5 different demographics that you think will be hitting the site. You tune based on these results, and it's this idea really as artificial life developers that we have all this kind of tuning and stuff that we do just as background in terms of creating an artificial life simulation. And then perhaps we should consider actually using the same methods that we use in software with regards to actually tuning the way the information is presented. And the feedback that I gave to Bruce and Peter Newman was that over that period, I really tuned it almost like a game. I mean, I was getting monthly stat updates. I was looking at the pages people weren't looking at. Why weren't they looking at it? How could they move through this information? I think in stark contrast to this very organized putting down theories and hypotheses and testing them against what was actually happening on the website, you've taken a far more laid-back view with regards to this, Gerald, haven't you?
In a way, yes, but in a way, not at all, because my focus for a long time has been to create a game scenario. So that's been, the core of a lot of the thinking. And in fact, developing the software, a significant part of the story is to make it attractive to people. So it actually ends up being a significant portion of the code, because the devil's in the details on the front end. So and especially for an online game, you've got to take care of network traffic and everything like that. So it's a big part of my challenge. So in a way, I'm spending a lot of my time on it.
Certainly, and I actively check Joe Rim's progress as well, because I mean, he's someone who's both in the artificial life community and also the independent games community. And a lot of the interesting tweaks that he had to do with regards to, his recent award-winning game, and also I think the sequel that he's working on, relates to these relatively simple metrics. And I mean, folks who are interested, who are starting out developing artificial life, I think SourceForge actually offers a lot of these metrics as well in terms of tracking statistics. But if you track that group of people that spend 15, 30 minutes plus on your site, this is a group of people that will typically move into joining mailing lists, move into broader discussions, start listening to Biota Live and related additional material. Bruce and I were having some discussion today about the role the Biota Live has played in the EvoGrid development. And the point that I made is that the listeners that we have to Biota Live, the hundreds of folk who tune into Biota Live on a regular basis, bridging more who tune in on an occasional basis, these are really already the hardcore few. And there's actually quite a larger, broader community of people who are well aware that artificial life is out there and certainly very pleased with the work that the artificial life community is doing, but they're not active participants in any way. So you start developing these theories, which I've communicated with other artificial life developers and gotten some kind of community agreement on, about the actual numbers of people. And my question back to Bruce was, having done these kind of experiments, I mean, Boing Boing is a perfect outlet because people are just, in some regard, on a lunch break, or they're in a, I'm collecting a series of bits of information kind of thing, and to click on a video or interact in that kind of environment is probably the most passive component as opposed to reading a three-page article and then deciding whether or not they're going to click onto a link. And it's interesting tracking the results of the New York Times article that Bruce had published versus the Guardian article, which is just a single paragraph. And there seem to be more people clicking directly through to the site through the Guardian article in some instances. And the follow-through associated with these people is very interesting. But as I thought about this, I mean, particularly with regards to the Rushkov article, I credit the Rushkov article as something that really got me to the US for a long period of time, facilitated a move, but didn't necessarily put me in front of people, you know, that I was working with, associated with startups, but was an immense motivator just in a single article. So I do believe very strongly that single articles have the power to do immense change associated with artificial life developers. But the same has to be said that these articles need a great degree of support on the other end, the sites, the information, the ability for people to kind of collect some sense associated with what the article is written about is really critical. And things like Biota Live, I mean, what we're doing here is really strengthening an already existing community. The folks who are listening in are already the small percentage of people that have a longer interest with artificial life than maybe just looking through a site or a few web pages for a few minutes in their lunch hour. In terms of these kind of metrics, I mean, you seem to describe the game that you're developing as somewhere on the cusp between kind of a casual game and potentially something like Steve Grant's Creatures in terms of the kind of obsessive user base. What's your own sense with regards to the demographics that you're trying to capture in this game, Gerald?
I really don't know. It's going to have to be sort of proof in the pudding because, in a way, I'm thinking it's more a casual game thing. There's just, you know, to be compulsively playing with an online game, it has to be something that's really personal. And I'm not sure I really, you know, it doesn't make any sense to compete with all the things like social networks.
Certainly. I mean, really, in this day and age, you want something that's completely compatible with social networks, even if it just means of people saying, send this out on my Facebook page. I mean, I put little things like that on the Noble Ape site for favorite, the Noble Ape application, having Facebook groups that people can link through to and communicate on, and similarly with regards to the Biota site. So I think these things are always, has to be seen as how can you use this in order to improve the general communication. I mean, even though the Biota Facebook group, people will occasionally post questions or thoughts through the group. So, I mean, I think you've got to actually leverage with the social networks and things like Twitter and these kind of things in this day and age as opposed to provide alternatives for them. The thing that fascinated me was that your site went down through the week, and I pinged you through Twitter associated with the site going down, Gerald, and you commented that an architect in Brazil had been the first person to see it. Do you consider the architectural community as being one of the large demographics associated with Darwin at Home?
Oh, not at all. No, the architect community has got very different interests at heart, so they wouldn't be. I mean, there are certain aspects of it that are going to be interesting because I believe I'm going to be able to use tensegrity towers as a kind of flora, so people are, or you know, so you actually go and eat them. So making, you know, edible tensegrities is probably going to spread the word a little bit about that kind of geometry, and maybe an architect would be interested in looking at that. Although the applications are sort of tricky in architecture.
But the Buckminster community has also kind of followed you through the early Darwin Home development. Do you consider that? I mean, if there's such a thing as a demographic associated with Buckminster Fuller's work, do you think that is another group that you have basically as of kind of followers and interested folk?
Oh, definitely, because I'm tending to think that I will describe this effort as like the bastard child of Darwin and Fuller.
You used to say Dawkins and Fuller.
No, I didn't.
I'm pretty sure you did, but that's interesting. That's interesting. I wasn't sure whether that was a change or a misquote, but Darwin and Fuller, very good. I mean, do you think the Dawkins community, do you think there's, my sense associated with this, and we have talked kind of sporadically about this, but I think, I'm not sure whether the Dawkins community really has anything to do with artificial life anymore. I mean, do you get the sense that there's still a component?
I don't know. I mean, if there's a thing called a Dawkins community, like he's a bestseller now, so there's, you know, literally millions of people who pay attention to his work. So, and, you know, way back in his books a long time ago, he had something called Biomorphs. I don't know if you remember that from one of the books. Yeah, and you know, there are enough aspects of Darwin at Home that could resemble that. Like one thing I'm playing with now, I'm not exactly sure I'm going to include it, but aesthetic selection for building the body that you occupy. So this aesthetic selection segment, if it's part of the game, will be very reminiscent of Biomorphs. So, you know, there's definitely people exploring what evolution is and wanting to understand it in the abstract, you know, will probably really enjoy playing around with the thing. And I'm sure that just the general sphere of it and, you know, the building blocks used to put it together will catch the eye of the Fuller community as well, because and there is a significant Fuller community, I think, in the world. It's just sort of sparse and you know, sporadic here and there. So many things in the visuals will be reminiscent of Fuller that I'm sure people will be struck by that.
Yes, I'm not sure if you saw, I did an Ape Reality this week, a video Ape Reality, and Bruce and I have been discussing the use of video into the future as a way of describing the artificial life community to kind of the folk that aren't actually part of the community. I mean, certainly we think of a series of books in the 90s and potentially also television programs, documentaries that were made about artificial life then. I think the facilities are there for us now, and I mean, you've been very successful with regards to YouTube in terms of you doing kind of mini documentaries or at least explanations of what is going on. But through that video, I made reference to Biomorphs. I held up the Blind Watchmaker and did a variety of other things. And I think this mechanism is another interesting way to kind of lure people into not necessarily the scholarship, but the background to the artificial life community and where we are now in terms of the books that have contributed. I noticed William R. Buckley's in the chat room, and William sent an email, as per his style, a kind of instigatory email associated with the fact that if the artificial life community started doing better or more or actual fundamental research in the field, then we would get a lot more people into the community, and actually the lack of people in the community or perceived lack of people in the artificial life community is a reflection on the work that is being done by the community currently. And it's not that I took exception to that, but certainly in the last Biota Live we were discussing, I believe, Framsticks and Polyworld and Breve. And in terms of actually reading the comparative literature, it's fascinating to read about these various simulations. I'm not sure if you've read anything on Framsticks. I mean, I know you're familiar with it in some regard, Gerald, but have you done any deeper reading on Framsticks?
No, not really, no.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of fascinating stuff under there in terms of movement and neurons, and we'll get into this with regards to procedural movement. But I think as a kind of broader community, we're not very good at kind of doing comparative, compare and contrast and actual discourse in terms of talking to the broader public about the amazing simulations that exist in a kind of compare and contrast way. It was interesting having Eric Burton on talking about the kind of post-Polyworld simulations and also how Polyworld is trying to move into the post-Polyworld simulations arena as well. That, you know, internally as a community, we're very good at having this discussion, and particularly with regards to actual references. It would be nice if we could actively communicate some of this knowledge outside the community in a fashion that could kind of captivate people and give them a general sense of wonder. But I guess the feedback that you're giving, Gerald, is really we need to also, as a community, perhaps look above our turrets and outside our own individual projects at other projects that are this kind of compare and contrast.
William Buckley's comment is, you know, everybody has their own point of view, and he's taken a very academic point of view. So he says, well, yeah, if you're going to entertain or if you're going to attract attention in my community, you're going to have to do this. I don't know. I'm sort of focused on a very much broader community, if you want to even call it a community. I mean, I see, for example, the potential of having a Darwin at Home server set up in a classroom for a lesson or, you know, something like that. Locally, it'd be a really interesting way to get some ideas across to kids, for example. So, you know, that's not exactly a demographic that would read a big paper. So, everybody has their different approach. And, you know, this is hobby. This is stuff that we do compulsively in a way, you know. If an artist goes on vacation, they take their pad along and they take their charcoal and they sit back on their vacation and they start making some, you know, artworks because it's fun. So, you know, I have the same sort of feeling when I'm on a vacation. I think, hey, I could write some code right now.
What you're describing is the nature of the artificial life hobbyist community, but with regards to, for example, getting artificial life into schools, there are ways that we can do that too. I mean, I was interested in working with an open source collective, SEUL, which was the kind of open source and education collective that was gathering together a series of open source applications in order to move them into classrooms. And whilst the politics of that group kind of led to its own demise, I think there are certainly a number of ways that we as artificial life developers can approach these various communities, be they education, be they secondary schools or academic institutions or these kind of things. I don't think that's eliminated to us through us being hobbyists, but it's just a matter of us taking the time to kind of get some... This whole notion of demographics, that basically if you say, I want school children to be a particular demographic of what I'm doing and potentially academics to be another demographic and potentially readers of Dawkins or fans of Buckminster Fuller to be another demographic, then there are ways that we can construct our simulations, particularly with regards to the information that we provide and also direct approaches, which can motivate that kind of direction as well. And certainly my discussion with Bruce and Peter Newman over the past few days has been about the fact that we need to be active participants in this as opposed to passive. We need to actually start constructing these demographics, start creating thought experiments, start creating kind of testable hypotheses as we would do within our own simulations, but just move this into something which is getting teachers using Darwin at Home in classrooms or these kind of movements. So, I mean, I guess I'm really preaching to the choir with regards to you and the other listeners associated with BioShare Live, but it was something that I wanted to put out into the community.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's important to like start with thinking about the demographics. That should, in a sense, that's a side effect.